Secretary Mnuchin and Chairman Powell both recently advised about the need to raise the debt ceiling, with Chairman Powell indicating dire consequences would flow if the debt ceiling was not raised. In fact, he called it unimaginable. A less sophisticated description is, are you kidding? You really don't understand the consequences? This battle has been ongoing for more years than I can count, and it was Republicans from 2010 through 2016 who railed against raising the debt. Of course, they are the same group that railed against deficits. Yet, they voted to impose a tax cut, which is on target to raise the debt by almost $1 trillion. One of the interesting aspects of this crisis is that tax revenue has fallen well short of what was projected by the Trump administration, resulting in less revenue. To the most rational economist, this is not a surprise. And to most people with common sense, it is not a surprise. It will be interesting to see how Republicans respond to this call from Secretary Mnuchin and Fed Chairman Powell in the Senate. Democrats have a long history of agreeing to raise the debt ceiling as they recognize the consequences of a failure to do so. The House passed a $733 billion defense authorization bill. The House inserted a provision that will require the president to obtain Congress's approval before authorizing military force against Iran. The president has hinted, not so subtly, that he will veto this bill. This has been an ongoing struggle in terms of the presidential war powers for years. Retired Congressman Chris Gibson was a strong supporter of limiting the president's war powers and requiring congressional action before deploying troops. Congressman Gibson, as you may recall, is a retired Army colonel who had real-time experience being deployed as a result of presidential action. I think Congressman Gibson and the Democratic majority are absolutely correct about the executive's expansion of that power for more than half a century. It's time to rein it in. We have grown accustomed to deploying troops, and in large measure that is because the general public is not being deployed as they were during World War II, the Korean War, and Vietnam. I hope the Senate has the same courage to act to rein in the executive as the House. The nuclear deal with Iran has been back in the news because the Iranians announced they had reached certain levels of uranium production, which brings them closer to the production of a nuclear weapon. Mr. Trump is now reverting to language which experts believe brings him very close to the deal which President Obama struck with Iran in the past. This is incredibly ironic because Mr. Trump has basically said that the deal that President Obama made was the worst ever, and as always, he uses language which is flamboyant but frequently imprecise, so it's difficult to know exactly where he's going or what he wants to accomplish. If the Obama deal were to be reinstated, it's quite likely that the Iranians would agree to it, although I suspect they believe they have POTUS a bit over the barrel. Nonetheless, I suspect the spin will be that this is a Trump agreement and he will ignore the parallels with the Obama agreement. The end result? It's important that we have a deal that keeps nuclear weapons from the Iranians. How we get there is a little more confused and likely will have more than a few tweets explaining it. POTUS announced new Buy America requirements, which will dramatically impact Canada and to a lesser extent Mexico. The new rules require 95% of steel, roads, and bridges to be from the U.S. General U.S. content increased to 75% from 50%. Mr. Ford, the Premier of Ontario, labeled this announcement as deeply troubling. He's right. As an American, this may be the first trade action that could actually bring back manufacturing jobs to the U.S. POTUS, at a recent White House event, called upon Democrats to pass or at least not block passage of the USMCA, claiming that there was bipartisan support for the bill. He then asserted there should be no politics involved. If the deal was not passed, he had a better plan but provided no further details. It appears inquiries to the U.S. Trade Representative's office also failed to produce a substantive comment on the alternative plan. This begins to sound much like Mr. Trump's promises on health care, the return of manufacturing jobs to the U.S., etc. He probably should stick to tweets, since no one expects any substance in those. Send her back is Mr. Trump's new campaign slogan. If your family immigrated to America during the period 1880 to 1920, the Know-Nothings expressed the same sentiments. The term Know-Nothings is as accurate a statement today as it was 100 years ago.